Inquiry number 6. Jesus Christ is God. John 1, verses 15 through 28. John the Baptist was an extremely effective and phenomenal witness of the one and only. His message proclaimed, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus carries the authority of God. Jesus is preeminent over Moses and the law. Did he say over Moses and the law? Remember how the law came? God called Moses up to Mount Sinai, away from the desert and the children of Israel, when he led them out of Egypt and slavery. Moses alone was to approach the Lord. That's found in Exodus 24:2. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, Exodus 24:15. While there, during the 40 days and 40 nights, the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments on a scroll and gave them to Moses, Exodus 31:18 and Deuteronomy 9:10. John proclaimed Jesus was preeminent to the law? Yes. John the Baptist cried out more. He said, Jesus Christ is the only one who has seen God and lived, in John 1:18. Remember, even Moses could not see the face of the Lord and live. In Exodus 33:18, Moses asked God to reveal his glory. And this was the warning from the Lord. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Exodus 33:20. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Exodus chapter 19, verses 21 through 23. From Timothy in the New Testament, we learn the reason no one but Jesus could see the face of God. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. Friends, the glory of God would obliterate anyone other than Jesus. John's claims about Jesus are revolutionary because not only could the Israelites in the Old Testament not see God's face, but they could not even talk to God. They required an intermediary, Moses. In the Old Testament, the glory of God was so frightening that the Israelites told Moses, "You talk to God for us or we will die." Exodus 20:19. John cries out even more claims. Jesus Christ is at the Father's side. Not only has Jesus seen God and lived, but Jesus is God Himself. John 1:18a says, no one has ever seen God but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side. In John 1:18b, says, Jesus Christ has made him known. Later, Jesus himself speaks personally to Philip. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. John 14, verses 9 and 10. John's proclamation. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but freely confessed, I am not the Christ. John 1:19. Throngs of people streamed to the desert to hear the message and requested that John baptize them in the water of the Jordan. A new movement drawing great crowds captures the attention of leaders of power. This obviously happened with John the Baptist's message. Among the masses were the priests and the Levites sent by the Jews of Jerusalem. These scholars and religious leaders well knew the prophetic scriptures promising the Messiah, the Christ in Greek, and the Messiah, Hebrew, which both mean the Anointed One. And that's from the note in the NIV translation. We would like to believe those sent from Jerusalem were sincerely expecting the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament prophets, and that they were sincere in their investigation that perhaps John the Baptist was their answer. If they were the priests and Levites from the line of Aaron, they would have known Moses and Isaiah's words, led by the Spirit of God. Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die.'" Isaiah 40, verse 3, foretold, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" When the priests and Levites from Jerusalem asked who John the Baptist was, he answered, "I am not the Christ." What must they have thought when, in answer to their question, "Are you Elijah or the prophet?" John the Baptist answered, "I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet." John 1:19-27. John the Baptist answered clearly, and he answered in a direct quote of Isaiah 40, verse 3. "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Imagine the hope stoked within the Jewish people by the birth of John the Baptist, his ministry, and the Holy Spirit's moving in the message he gave day in, day out. "This might be the one." Some Pharisees, however, appeared to be puzzled. "John, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, or the prophet, why do you baptize?" He emphatically answered, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." John 1:26-27. He is the one. It happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan River. John 1:28. Before we end our sixth inquiry, as previously mentioned, note that John the disciple omits the actual baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. He omits Jesus' 40 days and nights of fasting in the desert and the devil's unsuccessful temptation of Jesus. He went directly to the public ministry of Jesus. There appears to have been a time lapse between the baptism of Jesus, followed by his temptation of 40 days, and the declaration from John the Baptist, "Look, the Lamb of God." For the sequence of these events, we look to Matthew's Gospel. We find in Matthew 3:13-17, Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist. And if we look to Matthew 4:1-11, we'll see the fasting of Jesus of 40 days and 40 nights and his temptation by the devil. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. And that's found in John 1:28. You might also be interested to know the baptism site of Jesus by John the Baptist is where, or very near, the place the Israelites crossed the mighty Jordan on their way to capture Jericho. The Jordan River has been dammed up to save the precious sweet water from the Sea of Galilee from flowing into the Dead Sea, Earth's lowest elevation on land. Today, for that reason, the Jordan River at that spot would certainly not be called so mighty. On the Israeli side of the Jordan River, the unrelenting desert leads to Jericho, to the mountain of temptation of our Lord. At the end of Inquiry 6, John's gospel shifts from the life and ministry of John the Baptist and the accomplishment of his ministry mandate. That was to prepare the way before Jesus. He goes to his penultimate pronouncement of Jesus. But it is not what many are expecting and hoping for. Clearly evident are John's responses and his testimonies of Jesus to the multitudes. Matthew 11:11 clearly tells us what Jesus in turn said of John the Baptist. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. What about you and me today? What is our response to Jesus? Is it as faithful as John's? What is our testimony of him? And most importantly, what will he say about us?